Well, good morning. Last week we shared the thought with you, the power of one. We shared with you the thought that Jesus made an intentional effort to have one-on-one conversations with people, and great results came from that. We can look again this morning, since we talked about communion from Luke, we'll stay in the book of Luke and look at a chapter that talks about lostness. Luke chapter 15 gives three parables. The first parable that Jesus gives is the parable of the lost sheep. The second parable that he gives is the parable of a lost coin. And the third parable he gives is the parable of a lost son. And so, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he finds it? And I love this. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he returns, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy." Everybody say more joy. There will be more joy in heaven. Wow. Over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's pretty powerful. See, Jesus tells this story, this parable, to illustrate God's intentional pursuit of the lost. A single lost sheep. Now, I know that there are those in our world who place the same value on a sheep that they do a human being. I know that there are those who equate that. I'm not suggesting that Jesus is doing that today. I'm suggesting that Jesus, as the great shepherd, is using the shepherd and the sheep as an illustration of God's heart. If I were giving this message a title this morning, I might entitle it "God's Heart for the One." Now again, we're continuing the theme of the One. I think it's extremely important. And the Lord, I feel like the Lord nudged me this morning when I was looking at this. And I believe what the Lord wants to do is remind you. Everyone say me. God wants to remind me and remind you that even though we feel insignificant, I'm just one, we're going to be reminded from the Word of God this morning that one is a majority with God. God cares about one. And God cares about you. Yes, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. But guess who's included in that whosoever? That's right. You are. I am. They are. We can't get our mind so on the masses that we forget the one. Jesus is illustrating here that God pursues a single lost person. Jesus Himself said of Himself, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. The whole purpose of Jesus coming was to restore the lost back to God through Himself. The shepherd leaves the 99. Now, he doesn't leave them vulnerable or exposed. I have a friend in ministry. I've often referred to him as young man. He says, you know, when you refer to me as young man, I feel put in my place. I said, that's not my heart at all. It's just that he's been one of my students in college, and then we've done ministry together and so I have a heart for him. But he just began a ministry called the 99. And he happens to lived in California off of the 99 freeway, which if you follow it to its end, connects to the one that runs up and down. I think it's called the Coast Highway. Here's his point. His point is, his ministry is to leave the 99 and pursue the one. And I just love his heart. I love his heart for that because he's spent his entire life caring for the 99. And there's nothing wrong with that. You and I are the 99. But the Lord said, there is more. Oh, glory to God. There's more rejoicing in heaven. In heaven. Over one repentant sinner. Than the 99 who don't need repentance. That's you and me. That's the redeemed, the saved. Hallelujah. And so I think sometimes we get so engrossed in the 99 that we forget the one. May we be reminded this morning of the one. Jesus says the shepherd left the 99 to search for the one. Now what did he do when he found the one? You see, it could sound like, on the surface, like the shepherd is ignoring the 99. No, he's not. But what he's doing, when he finds the lost one, he puts them on his shoulder, rejoicing, and restores them to the 99. Do you see that? Because he knows that when we're out there on our own, when we're out there by ourselves, when we are isolated, we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable. But when we are with the 99, we care, we can protect each other. We can encourage each other. Jesus restores them to the 99. God doesn't see anyone as indispensable. Every person matters to Him. And His love extends to each and every one. And He cares greatly and rejoices greatly when the individuals are found. The parable of the lost coin shows us the diligence. You see, this coin is an extremely important coin. It's about a part of this woman's dowry. And typically those coins were very valuable, and they were worn in a band. And so to lose that is to lose your dowry, to lose your future. And I've watched enough movies to discern that they didn't have electricity like we do. So for her to find that lost coin required her to light a candle and to get down on her knees and search diligently. Now, I have heard this referenced where sometimes when we lose something, the house gets cleaned. But this isn't about cleaning house, okay? Let's don't turn that this sermon into that. This sermon is about something that was lost, that was valued, that was pursued. I don't know if we realize how valuable we are to God. I think we can lose it sometimes because of life, just life in general. But we need to be reminded, just as communion reminds of us of the Lord's death and burial and resurrection and ascension and soon return, we must be reminded that we are of great value to God. Guess what else? So are those for whom Jesus died. It's very easy for us sometimes, especially in this very hostile environment right now, during this political battle that's going on, for us to draw camps and for us to devalue someone because they don't see things our way. Jesus never devalued anyone. Jesus valued those whom society devalued. And in the lost coin, similar to the lost sheep, it emphasizes how diligently the searcher searches for what seems like a small item, a single coin. Hey, you got 9 coins. You know, I will never forget one time. My older brother was acting up, embarrassing the family. My father was a pastor, and my father just had enough, and he picked him up and put him against the wall. Because my brother said this, because there are 14 children in my family, okay? I'm number 11 of those 14. So I have 13 siblings. And my brother said this to my father. He said, well, 1 out of 14 isn't bad. And my father put him up against the wall and said, son, I didn't bring a child into this world to give him to the devil. You see, my brother may not have valued his salvation, but my father still valued his salvation. And it's interesting because one of the things I'm going to challenge us to do in the next few weeks or months, however long the Lord has for us here, one of the things I'm going to challenge us to do is pray and ask God to put somebody on our heart, to put a one on our heart. And I'll never forget this. Someday I may have my younger brother come out and sing for us. He's a gospel singer, and last night he was in Dayton, Tennessee with a gospel a quartet of some sort. He's a promoter. I may have him come to sing. That's not the point. The point is this. When I was in college, the Lord laid him on my heart. And I began to fast a meal every day for him. And that was years. And I'll tell you, he's not setting the woods on fire. He's not setting the world on fire. He's not the greatest gospel singer that ever came into the world. No, but every time I hear him sing a gospel song, now, Naomi, my heart is full. Why? Because I know the investment I have in him. But the investment Jesus has in him is so much greater. Hallelujah. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life. And that's what Jesus did. I didn't lay down my life. I just missed a few meals. But But why? Because I valued his soul. And I'm asking God to lay someone on our heart, your heart, my heart. God, lay that person on my heart. Make them my one. So that every day I call their name to you in intercessory prayer. And then not just that, Lord, but create moments, create opportunities, open doors, as the Apostle Paul wrote. Pray that a door of utterance. What does that mean? That's just King James for saying, create an opportunity for me to have a conversation about you with them. Yes, Lord. And so God searches for us with intensity, with intentionality. He searches for us, demonstrating that He cares for the one. And then again, when she finds it, what does she do? She rejoices! Now, I don't know if it's ever occurred to you. I hope it has, but I just want to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to remind us, there is more joy, great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. You know what? I would love to cause a party in heaven. I'm sure over my lifetime I've caused enough heartache in heaven. Some people say, well, my uncle or my aunt or my loved one is looking down over us. And you know what my prayer is? I hope not. I hope not, because if they're looking down here, they can be hurt by what they see. I hope they are just in heavenly bliss, totally unaware of what's going on down here. I'm not picking on you if that's your theology, but I'm just saying this. I'm saying that there is great rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents. Well, Pastor, what does that have to do with me? I'll tell you what it has to do with you. You can be the catalyst. You can be the person that God uses to speak to that sinner and bring them back into God's fold. You can be the one that God anoints with His sweet, precious Holy Spirit who resides in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead abides in you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And that same Holy Spirit can anoint you to share the message of the gospel with people who are lost. And you can be the catalyst. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You can be the reason somebody finds Jesus. You can be the Zacchaeus. I know we already talked about Zacchaeus, so I'll just allude to him. Jesus intentionally reaches out to Zacchaeus and invites himself to his home. And Zacchaeus is redeemed. Zacchaeus is restored. And immediately there is an impact. Immediately Zacchaeus has an impact. One of the things that Zacchaeus reminds me of is the fact that sometimes the greatest evangelists, Bob, the greatest evangelists are brand new baby Christians. People who haven't had enough time in the Lord to be jaded. I had a person contact me the other day, and they were criticizing a ministry that I happen to be fond of. And they ended their conversation with, I may be jaded because of what I've been through. And I respect that. I respect that we can recognize as Christians who have been in the way for such a long time that we can get calloused and we can forget that there is great joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. I am not challenging you to be Billy Graham. I am not challenging you to be some great evangelist. What I am challenging us to do is step into our role as people of the gospel, people of the faith, people of the way, people of Jesus Christ, to bring this message to one person, one single person, somebody you would like to spend eternity in heaven with. Wow, what a powerful challenge. When Jesus met the woman at the well and revealed who He is to her, and she received who He was, she immediately became an evangelist. She didn't go to seminary. She didn't go to evangelism explosion class. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. I've been through evangelism explosion class and I've been to seminary. But that is not why we do what we do. We do not have to be seminary graduates to share what God has done in our lives with somebody. Share your story. That's as simple as it gets. God cares about us. Jesus meets a blind man. He meets a blind man. And He doesn't even introduce Himself. You know, John, I'm always challenged by biblical examples where all of our approaches and all of our theology, you know, it just gets thrown out the window. And Jesus just, He doesn't even say, "Do you know who I am?" No. Jesus simply heals the blind man. He heals him. And he doesn't even know who he is. And then the Sanhedrin, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're questioning this man. And they said, "Confess that God healed you. Confess that this guy is a sinner." And he goes, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know about that. I only know I was blind. And now I see." You see, there was great rejoicing in heaven when that blind man received his sight. Praise God. I want to give a last example. The thief on the cross. Boy, there's one that just really... I'll never forget. I can't remember the guy's name right now. He's British. He's English. Actually, he's probably Scottish. I just can't remember his name. He's got a big ministry. But I'll just never forget. I turned him on one day on the TV. And he was saying, "I want to meet, when I get to heaven, I want to meet that guy on the cross. And I want to ask him, how did you get here?" And I can just hear the guy saying, "The man on the middle cross said I could come." Wow. Wow. Here's the guy. Jesus, in his dying moments, in his final moments, promises paradise to a repentant man hanging beside him. Even in his suffering, Jesus gives personal attention to a dying man. Oh, there's so much to say about those last moments with Jesus. He gives personal attention to the dying thief on the cross. Says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And then he turns to his apostle John. He said, "John," he says, "behold your mother." He's taking care of his mother. Even in his dying moments, he's attending to the one. And so God's love is vast enough. What's the old song say? He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Jesus cares about the one. God's love is vast, yet it encompasses the one. Even in his suffering, he remembers. God sees. He knows each of us individually. I'm going to get nitty gritty here. It's amazing that he knows us individually. But here's what the Word of God says. He says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now that's detail. Are you telling me the Lord knows how many hairs are on my head? Yeah. That's how individually He cares for us. That's why He pursues you with a purpose. And you are precious to Him. And so I challenge you, I challenge us to view others with the same lens. See sinners the way God sees them. See the lost the way God sees them. Pray for them. Pursue them for Him. Let God, through you, through the power of His Holy Spirit, work through you to pursue one. When Jesus sent His apostles out two by two, He sent them out twice. First the 12 and then the 70. He sent them out twice. And He sent them out two by two. Both times, how did they return? They returned with rejoicing. Now, some of their rejoicing was a little off kilt, and Jesus straightened it out. Some of them were like, oh Lord, even the demons were subject to us. And Jesus says to them, hey, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. Praise God. I challenge us to see others through that same lens. Each person is invaluable to God. Each person matters. No, I didn't talk about the lost son. We're extremely familiar with that story, but it shows the same value. The Father valued the Son. Matter of fact, the Father valued the Son that was lost, and He valued the Son that was there. He cared for both of them. Let us value the lost like Jesus does. Father God, we pray this morning that You will help each and every one of us feel Your presence and Your personal love in our lives, and that You would inspire us to reach out to the ones in our life who need You, need Your love. Thank You, God, for treasuring every one of us deeply and making every one of us available for salvation and transformation. And thank You when that occurs. But the Word of God says, heaven celebrates. Father, may we prepare ourselves to be instruments of Your peace so that we can cause celebrations in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.